Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
COVID's changed things, hasn't it? Because normally we introduce ourselves and stuff backstage, but we've sort of like...
I can barely hear you, but you better turn around.
That's the first time you've ever said that.
I know, I've never said that.
Kieran, can you turn my mic up, please? Hello? Testing. Hello, there we go.
There we go. There we go. That's better. Can you hear us all right? That's good.
So just quickly, a few house rules. If you want alcohol, you've got a little checklist in front of you. If you follow the steps and then just hold it up, someone will go and collect that off you and then bring you booze. So, yeah.
In the break. So we're going to have a half-hour break. We're going to do 45 minutes. We're going to do 5 minutes us. Then we're going to bring DJ Yoda out and we're going to talk about a record and we're going to do Yoda's Five. Then we'll do a 30-minute break, right? So you can all get drinks brought to your tables here. And then you can also buy, if you want to buy the record or you want to buy the action toy and things like that, put your hand up and the label will come over, credit card swipe thing. And so we can do all of that in the break. We ain't got to worry about that till the break. And then second half.
We're going to dick about big time. we're very lucky to have a listener favourite, a fan favourite, I'd say.
Fan favourite.
Big Papa Jay's going to join us afterwards. Don't fucking cheer him more than you just cheered us when we go on set.
We'll talk about his pre-show anxiety when he gets up here.
Yeah, exactly.
So the reason for today, more than anything, is the fact that, well, we've released the record, right?
Yep, unbelievable. How annoyed are you about that you did it with me?
I'm annoyed that I spent probably 15 years writing songs, pouring my heart out into it, thinking I was doing something really, really worthy and something really kind of like heartfelt. And then the one time I get out on vinyl, you happen to be involved.
Just the thing is, like, all launch off the back of us talking about me having erections in nightclubs and stuff like that.
Oh, brilliant. Well, look, let's get on with it. Should we bring Yoda up and start talking about the record?
Let's get the man.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome DJ Yoda to the stage.
Hello.
How you doing?
All right.
So, I've no idea how we managed to kind of con you into saying...
Bag it. Absolutely.
Will you come on a piece of vinyl with us? But thank you.
We've ended up with vinyl.
I know.
Here we are.
What you didn't see earlier, before you come in, was the reason we're a little bit late, and this is amazing. You've probably done it loads of times, but I never in a million years thought we'd do it. We was signing a stack of records.
But there's nothing to make you feel like more of a wanker than just signing record.
What was worse is it looked like you'd been practicing and you'd signed it in a very specific place on everyone. And I was like, you were thinking about that last night.
I still don't know why you signed yours, Dr. Love. But yeah, that's cool.
Jokes aside, all of them are signed Chris, but one signed Craig. So it's a mixed bag in there. So good luck if you get that one.
Aside from the record, you're happy to do a top five?
Yeah, let's do a top five.
Okay, what are you going to do?
Well, we should say what's on the record because it's kind of this part of the reason why I chose a different top five. Mm-hmm. On the record, I'm talking about my top five hip-hop albums from the 90s. So that's like the two sides of really what I'm interested in are music and video or film. So we did music on the record, kind of makes sense. So I thought I wanted to do something about film. So my first thought was like top five films. Then I sat down to try and do that. I basically realized that my brain has turned to mush during lockdown. I was like sat in front of like a wall and was like, what is a film? what's a film that I've seen? What's a film that I like? I cannot do this. So I was like, I've got to broaden the scope a little bit. And I decided to go for top five kinds of films that I like. Is that allowed?
Do you know what? When you say it like that, it don't sound as good as the email we got. Because when we got the email...
Tell me what I said in the email. It sounds better.
You pitched it badly. You know, but we had to strike off Pornhub because we were like, come on, man.
Yeah, I know. That's a separate... It's another separate five.
Yeah, exactly.
You've completed that anyway, man.
Exactly. It's a long watch. Thank God for COVID. Because I could really get through the rest of it. Complex plots.
Have you put them in an order, or is it just the five?
Just the five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then so basically that way, it's like a cheat. It allows me to say, because when I started listing films that I like, I was like, there's no way I can make a top five, or I can say top five, but it just won't even be true. I need to include way more. So at least if I give them categories, then I can mention like five within each five.
Yeah.
So I'm cheating the system here. That's my plan.
Okay. Number five.
So they're in no order whatsoever. Okay. Okay. And also, I've just realized like, you could kind of say they're genres, but they're not because some of them are just directors as well. I'm making my rules up.
It's so loose.
It's incredibly loose.
You're in trouble, man.
Here's some stuff that I'm going to say that's going to be words. Categorize it how you like.
No one's been out for 6 months. I don't give a fuck.
I know. We're somewhere in real life. It's amazing.
People are just grateful to be out, I reckon. So, yeah.
Including me. okay. So... can I preface it with anything or just get into it? Just get into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fluff it.
Well, just to say that, like, I realize when thinking about this that my feelings about films are the same as my feelings about chocolate and coffee, which is that I either like the really highbrow good stuff or the really dirty bad stuff, and I don't like any of the middle stuff. So basically, when it comes to coffee, I want like really amazing single estate, like beautiful, like with tasting notes, or I want like petrol station coffee.
Yeah, Mellow Birds.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your like bottom of the barrel chocolate though?
Oh, okay. So I would kind of put Cadbury's in that. I mean, it's filth. It's not even really chocolate, but it's amazing.
I think the one below that is cinema chocolate. You know, like the powdery chocolate mice
Mocklet.
That you get. Mocklet, yeah.
Yeah, Mocklet. Isn't Cadbury's kind of that anyway?
No, I'm all over Cadbury's.
No, me too. Don't get me wrong. I love it, but can you really even call it chocolate? Yes.
Yeah. you're asking a guy whose favourite food is pate on bread dipped with peanuts in it, isn't it? So I don't think you're the one to be judging chocolate.
It, mate. Golden.
It's making me realise I should have done top five Cadbury bars.
Switch it.
We could switch.
Well, we're doing a company in chocolate bar for every film.
Oh, that's a nice idea. Yeah. But we can't do that, but I just want to give a quick shout out to the Orange 12 that have just come out. Limited. Yeah, this is getting cheers. It's going to be more than any film I mentioned. People are like, yeah, Orange 12.
What's your first film? Or your first
My first kind of film
yeah.
is David Lynch films.
Wonderful.
Right, so I'm starting with a highbrow. I mean, probably like my biggest love out of hip-hop is Twin Peaks. And that kind of started me on the journey of David Lynch films. And I just like, you know, I studied film at university. That I did English and American literature with film studies. So I got into some kind of like stuff about auteurs and kind of and deep stuff about film. And what I left with was just this love for David Lynch and everything he stands for. I mean, if I have a hero, it's David Lynch.
Okay.
Yeah, for everything that he does. I mean, like during lockdown, I don't know if anyone's seen, he's been doing these weather reports on YouTube.
Really?
Every day he just kind of sits and looks out the window, and he's in LA, so it's like it's sunny again. but it's just his way of doing it, and he does so much. He makes furniture, he does paintings, he makes albums, which are all amazing, but pretty much anything that he's had a hand in is like, it's like, oh, to me, like that's And there are some people who I don't want to meet, or I don't ever want to collaborate with or follow on social media or anything like that. And he's under in that category because he's just kind of untouchable to me.
So was Twin Peaks your introductory point, or was there a film before Twin Peaks?
I mean, I think I'd probably seen... I was young when Twin Peaks first came out. If Twin Peaks first aired, I think, 89. Probably thinking about it, I might have seen Dune, but not really kind of understood about directors or anything like that. So Twin Peaks kind of was the introductory point. And I think really, like, when it came to thinking about top five films, I would definitely say Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me is in my top five. And it's a really difficult film, and it's not a film that I would recommend to anyone if they haven't seen it. I would just be like, just stay clear of it, because you'd just find it annoying and weird unless you're just so like involved in that world. It's a very personal thing for me.
Yeah.
But the music that he picks for all of his films, and the characters, and the cast that he works with, everything is just is perfection to me.
The Julie Cruise theme from Twin Peaks.
I saw Julie Cruise live in New York in a jazz club in the early 90s, and it was one of my favorite gigs I've ever been to.
Really?
Yeah, just totally different to a hip-hop gig, of course. I mean, it's just like, it's so dreamy. And back then, there was no smoking ban. I just remember it being really smoky in there. And she, just her voice is just, it's like an angel. It's incredible.
Lovely.
So after Twin Peaks, where did you sort of go with the Lynch sort of like fascination?
Yeah, from there, it was Wild at Heart.
Yeah,
which
amazing.
Is just Nick Cage, classic, snakeskin jacket. The music, all of it.
That's one of your faves, Stu, isn't it? Yeah. Absolutely.
And you can't not mention the press for it when he rocked up on Wogan that jacket. Have you seen this?
No, I don't think I've seen that.
Really?
It's the best.
Have you seen this?
I have seen it. Hang on, when he bounds in and he's just basically...
Does a load of kung fu.
Yeah.
He does a load of cocaine. Then he runs out.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
It's a cocaine first, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. I mean, that's strong coke vibes, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's different level cool in that film, isn't he?
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, it's really dark as well. Like, it's very sad and very dark. A lot of stuff David Lynch does, and funny as well. And really, to me, like, that's what I loved about Twin Peaks, is it takes every genre and it finds a way to include it. Yeah. You know, it's that's what impressed me about it. But he's also, you know, like, The Straight Story is an incredible film. It's a really kind of gentle, bucolic, family-friendly, pleasing film to watch. And it's different to other stuff that he's done. And some of it's so dark. Some of his other stuff's so dark. And that's such a sweet film. So that's really up there as well for me. And I've even watched all his kind of shorts and all the weird other stuff, Mulholland Drive. And a lot of it is he just dispenses with narrative and characters as we know it, and you have people become characters just in other actors' bodies halfway through the film for no reason.
It's so crazy. I think Mulholland Drive, other than Dune, and I didn't even realize when I was young that he'd done that. Mulholland Drive, I saw that at uni, and it was a very tough watch because I was very high all the time. So I think I watched it the first few times stoned, and I was like, I've got to now watch this with a straight head.
To be honest, some of it's really difficult. It's difficult viewing and very slow, especially if you're used to just like, you know, now we're just faced with so many screens and flicking, and we're basically all just ADHD with the media that we consume. And his whole thing is slow and just there's scenes in the most recent Twin Peaks series where there's just a guy sweeping for 5 minutes and nothing else happens. But it's kind of amazing to be forced to sit down and be put through that. I think that's actually what the impressive thing about it.
I think he doesn't really spoon feed you what's happening. And I think that's really good. And I think when I started watching his movies, that's what I started to enjoy, was that, you know, a lot of the other content I was really digesting was kind of like, there might be a little inner monologue just to help you along with what you were trying to... But
it's
was none
really
of that.
Left open for your interpretation of it. And a lot of it's like dreams, and that's kind of what he's trying to create. He's like, I'm trying to make it like a dream. It doesn't need to make sense. You can make what sense of it you want to. So it's hard work on the consumer, but I'm just thankful that there's someone like that in the world doing that, because like I say, a lot of the other stuff I enjoy is just shit. So it's good to have some really kind of like...
It's the perfect get out though, isn't it? If you can get into that position where no matter what you do, everyone's scratching their chins going, I really like what he's done here. He might have just been hungover, sick, whatever that day, and was like, we're just going to film someone's sweep.
My brain is wired as such that you just said scratching and I thought I need to sample that.
Because Cal McLachlan, post Twin Peaks, then went on to do that legendary 5-minute scene in the other film that's in your top five, isn't it? The hot tub scene in Showgirls was a big, big favourite of yours, wasn't it, mate?
When we talked about what your top five was going to be, Yoda, I think I sent your Stu's top five over to you, which was shame, 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 Showgirls, shame, Under Siege.
I'm down with that.
I had to ask what shame was. I didn't know about that.
Have you not seen it?
Oh, no. Fucking hell, man.
Oh, do you know what?
I got told and I thought, okay, I don't need to know.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
It's good. It's good. I mean, I banged on about that way too much on the podcast, hence you just thought it'd be three of my five. All right, well, should we move on to four?
Yeah, let's go...
Highbrow to lowbrow.
Let's go lowbrow. Well, I don't know if it's lowbrow, but like the next kind of category of film that I have to include in my favourite films is 80s cult kids kind of films. So really that's like, I mean, when I first started DJing and trying to work with film and music, the first thing that occurred to me was I need to re-soundtrack The Goonies. Oh. So I like, we did cinema shows of The Goonies and I worked out a DJ set that goes with every scene of the film. And then I did the same thing for Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And my plan was always to do Weird Science as the third of the trilogy, but actually kind of the DJ tech moved faster than I could get around to that, and next I could scratch movies, and so I just went off down that whole route instead. But yeah, those kind of films, and you know what I mean by those kind of films.
Oh, mate.
Like...
The John Hughes style.
The John Hughes, the John Hughes thing. And it's, you know, this is pure nostalgia.
Yeah.
It's the era that I grew up in. It's what we watched on videos.
Yeah.
But then I'd also kind of throw into that, like, kind of kiddie kind of stuff, RoboCop.
Very kiddie. That was my second super violent movie I ever
watched.
Well,
there you go. It was like, this is the thing. Like, in the 80s, the films we watched were either, like, kids at high school or, like...
people crawling out of toxic waste.
Or people getting
melting.
Shot in the groin.
Oh, man. I don't know what effect that's had on me. Like, I think people who listen to our podcast would say it was quite...
That question's going to take a long time to answer.
But I absolutely love the 80s for that. For the fantasy of movies like Goonies and how that set your imagination, to think that you'd find a treasure map in the loft with your buds is just incredible. And then there's just ultra-violent movies. Like, I think I first saw Commando and then went to RoboCop and it was incredible. The scene in the drug factory is just the most violent thing you can ever watch.
But there's so many quotables from that film that it's totally absolutely ridiculous. But it's interesting to me how differently all those kind of films have aged. Like, for instance, I think RoboCop stands up amazingly. Yeah. And then they remade it for some reason, which is the most unnecessary remake, I think, of any movie I can think of. But The Goonies has not aged very well.
I think it's aged a bit better than some of the others. The whole yew tree thing put the dampeners on Weird Science a bit, didn't it? Because that's quite weird.
give two teenagers the chance to like design anything and they're going to create like a living fuck to it.
Yeah. Imagine if that was the other way around and that was a guy and that was two girls. It would be really dark then.
Yeah, Weird Science. I still watch Weird Science. I watch every year at Christmas. I don't know why, but I will do that.
It's great nostalgia value, but incredible. I think probably the king of all of them for me, like if I had to pick one, would be Ferris Bueller's. Just it's. I know it inside out. It's just. I mean, what can you say? I don't really have a way of describing it other than it's just. I guess that because of the age that I am, it was just really aimed at my demographic, right? 100%. Which is just basically, imagine if you got the day off school and you could go and do anything you want.
Yeah.
But same thing, just quotables. John Hughes had a good knack for that. Just
100%.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Glasson, what's your favourite John Hughes?
Oh, I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you all of his movies. I really couldn't. Give me a list of the ones we haven't discussed.
Breakfast Club.
Home Alone,
16 Candles.
Weirdly, you say Breakfast Club. I nearly picked Breakfast Club for movies that hadn't aged so well the other day. Not because it isn't a classic, but you then talk about like different things in what we define as politically correct now, and there was really crazy racial stereotypes in it. And I've not seen it for years, so you just don't think of that. I've just got this amazing feeling when you say Breakfast Club. I'm like, yeah, that is pretty fucking amazing, man. Yeah.
Mm, nice.
So, how about you, mate?
I'd probably go Breakfast Club, just because I'm 47, so that just fell at the right time, and it was it just nailed it. And maybe not so much in hindsight now, when you look back at, you know, like any of these kind of films, some of them haven't aged so well, but I know for a good 10, 15 years, that film was spectacular.
I can still, it's the kind of thing that I just, if it's on in some room that I'm in, I have to sit down and
completely,
see it through.
Completely.
I love I still get this thing where, and I get it with Ghostbusters the most. And there's a story, Yoda, when I finished uni and I came back from uni, my dad gave me this big long lecture about what you're going to do with your life. And I'm still getting regularly very high, and he'd caught me and I was very stoned. And I went upstairs, he lectured me for about 30 minutes, and I went upstairs, came downstairs about an hour later, I was like, what are you up to? I'm looking for a pen and pad. So Dad thought, he's having a good think. And I came down a few hours later, and he was like, any thoughts? And I was like, Ghostbusters is my favourite film. And I'd written out all the ways you could classify any movie. And it ended up that Ghostbusters is actually, by fact, the best movie.
Were you doing
ever.
Top fives before there was
yeah,
a top five?
Yeah, definitely. It was a prototype for this. But, bloody hell, absolutely. Yeah, love Ghostbusters. It's
incredible. I'd say Ghostbusters is in that category. I'd say E.T. Is in that category.
Yeah, totally.
I'm going to throw Police Academy in there, the first one.
Yep.
It's going in now.
Yep. Have you ever heard the song that I did with Michael Winslow?
Fuck off.
Yep. The sound effects man. It's called.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's got video and everything. And he just made noises for the whole... I made a beat and he made noises and I scratched them.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Jones. Larville Jones.
Yeah.
Monsignor Larville Jones.
And I'll tell you something about him. He's exactly like that in real life.
That's the best friend you could ever want.
Totally.
It's amazing. I just remember the studio that we recorded it in, as we kind of opened the door for the studio, he did the Star Trek door noise as we walked into the door. I was like, this is cool. I like this guy. Yeah.
Can we just do top five things you've done when you hung out with Jones from Police Academy, please? Just to clarify, I will part X you for Jones for this podcast all day long. That's incredible. Does he just do sound effects all the time?
So we sat in the studio. I didn't really have a plan for the song. I just knew he was up for doing something. So I was like, let's just go through all the noises you can do. And he made all the noises. It's ridiculous. And then he kind of basically spoke a little bit about how he was a beatboxer before there was beatboxers, which is true. So we kind of made that the theme of the song. And yeah, have a look at the video on YouTube. It's cool.
Oh, that's incredible.
Shall we leave the podcast now? Yeah. We won't stop that. Should we do your number three? What's the genre?
Let's bounce back up to not highbrow, but definitely highbrow than John Hughes. And I would say anything that the Coen brothers touch. So that's why, like, in my head, I was like, if I'm going to do a top five, I can't decide whether I would include The Big Lebowski or Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. I can't have two Coen Brothers films. And so that's kind of what started this idea of, like, maybe we should do top five types of films, because everything Coen, well, not actually not everything Coen Brothers do, but most of the stuff they've done, it just hits a chord with my sense of humor. And in terms of, like, the most watchable, repeat watchings, definitely those two, Lebowski and Oh Brother.
Did he do No Country for Old Men?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's which is film. Definitely up there as well. I'd say that's probably number four for me. It probably I'm stuck between Lebowski and Oh Brother. Number three, A Serious Man, which
I've
is
not seen that.
Yeah, it's a kind of it's a more underground one, but it really speaks to me because it's just about the kind of the pains of growing up Jewish. It's quite specific, but it really speaks to me, so it's very personal to me. But then No Country for Old Men, which I rewatched recently, is just incredible.
So
I mean,
good.
What a baddie. What a baddie.
Up there in top five baddies.
Anthony Chigurh, that's incredible. There's so much tension, and you don't realise for the poor victim what's at stake sometimes when he's flipping that coin. Yeah. But as a viewer, you do. And it's just incredible. With that cattle prod.
It's the
haircut. I've been applying for one of them for ages.
To have gone for that haircut, it's like, that's what makes it for some reason. I can't explain it, but it's just a guy with that weapon and that haircut. It's like, top baddie ever.
He was absolutely menacing. And again, like, not spoon-fed to you at all, No Country for Old Men. It's just a, you know, sometimes quite a slow watch. And most people have seen it now, but when one of the main characters dies, and you followed a lot of their journey, you don't see it. And there's that absence that you didn't get to see that. And I really like that, because it was kind of frustrating as well, that was it.
Kind of understanding that you don't need to tie everything up with a neat bow. It's actually sometimes worse to do that.
Completely.
And it feels just realer to have something open-ended. But Oh Brother, Where Art Thou sent me off. It was kind of the first thing that stopped me listening to just straight hip-hop. I mean, we talked about this before, how just the 90s, I just spent listening to nothing but hip-hop, and I was not open-minded to anything outside of that genre. But I think I just loved Oh Brother, Where Art Thou so much that I got the soundtrack, and then I started researching all the different artists that were on that soundtrack, and then other things that they'd done, and it just sent me off in this journey of kind of learning about Americana and just old American folk music, and that got me into blues, and it sent me off on a journey musically. So that was really important for me. And I just love the colour of that film. It's a really nice colour.
and I think we should mention in the week that we've just seen Cineworld close, like, you know, as film goers, like, you know, it's tragic that we can't go.
It's been hard. I haven't been to the cinema yet.
Me neither. And I'm finding it really hard to watch films at home. I'm finding myself watch dross instead of films because it's just the same.
Absolutely. I'll scour Amazon Prime for really B-movie horror films. And I'll be watching them and I'm like, this has absolutely no artistic merit. Mm. And I don't know why I'm doing that as well. It's strange. Like, I don't know, like, when you were talking about ADHD with phones and stuff like that now. But, like, if I'm going to watch something now at home, I just want to leave my phone in another room because I want to be able to pay attention to it. But it's not the same as a cinema.
It's not the same as a cinema.
I love walking into a cinema, just that feeling of, what am I going to get to eat? What treat am I going to have?
And being forced to not look at my phone, forced not to talk to anyone else. And that is, like, the joy of the cinema for me. And that's why if I try and watch a classic movie at home, it's just not quite the same.
Loses the edge.
We went on Thursday. Carol wanted to go before it shut because she loves cinema. She loves cinema. So I was like, okay. So we went. I presume it was one of the last nights it was open.
Yeah.
The standard of the popcorn would lead you to believe it was probably ready to shut. But yeah, there's very few films on. We went and watched the last Bill and Ted film.
What was that like, by the way?
It was all right.
Yeah.
Is that being polite?
It's what you'd expect from a couple of 50-year-olds being rad dudes.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Sounds quite good.
did Carol like it?
Yeah. It was all right. I think you'd like it.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an insult or something.
Sounded like one, didn't it?
You got very similar taste, right?
But the only time, and it was weird, I lost track when we started talking about ghosts, Ghostbusters. I love when a film comes on TV that I love, because I just get... It's a bit like at the cinema. I like a busy cinema most times. For example, Pip hates it. So we have a weird relationship when we go together because I'm tolerant of human beings and he's not. But at home, I love the thought of, if, say, for example, RoboCop, even though it's so heavily edited, it's untrue. But I love the thought there's another couple of thousand people watching that at the same time. So that's the time I like it.
Yeah, Twitter really cool. can get quite good if everyone's watching the same film.
Right, yeah.
That was a beautiful little snapshot into Pip's personality there. He just hates people.
Fundamentally.
He's like zero tolerance.
He does a podcast where he meets people every week, but he doesn't really like people.
Not a fan. All right, Yoda, number three.
Four.
Two.
Four.
Two. Two or four?
Two.
Anyone?
One.
Five.
It's like bingo.
Well, we've had Lynch. We've had 80s kids kind of stuff.
Coen Brothers.
We've had Coen Brothers. My category number four is any film set in Boston.
So specific.
You
so
really specific. Had a meltdown, didn't you, on this? And you were like just shouting out random. But it's so true, though. As soon as you said that.
At some point,
like,
I realised, why do I love every film that's set in Boston? But I do. They're all good.
They're really good. I think there's something about Boston culture that is gritty and fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have had hard lives in Boston.
I don't know if you've been to Boston. Have you been?
No.
It's my favourite city to visit in the States. I don't know why. It's just it's got a lot more history. Yeah. So it's got more character.
Yeah.
It feels slightly more European than other American cities that I could feel that I could mention. And yeah, it's got this kind of Irish thing. It's got the accent. Yeah. It's just got character, basically.
Yeah.
And it did have a really rough area, Southie, which is now all avocado on toast and everything. but a lot of the Boston films that I like seem to be set around that area. I think the king of them is probably The Departed.
That's great.
You've got to say it like that.
The Departed?
Yeah. I can't do a Boston accent, but it's park your car or something like that. And Matt Damon, Mark Wahlberg, Ben Affleck, all these kind of like actual Boston people that ended up making films. I love Good Will Hunting, and I love autumn in that area, which you get a lot in films, weirdly. Here's quite an obscure film that I would recommend people watch. I bet you no one's seen it. Outside Providence?
Nope.
You ever seen that?
No.
Anyone?
No.
No.
Any takers?
I recommend it. It's just that kind of shit, basically. It's New England in the fall. I just like trees and pumpkins and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't mind what's going on in front of them.
we watched Departed literally about a month ago, and I hadn't seen it
for the first time.
I saw it when it came out, but I don't think I'd have seen it. And it's so good.
It's a remake. But it's a really worthwhile remake. Yeah.
It's from Infernal Affairs, wasn't it? Was that the original one?
Was a Hong Kong film.
Yeah, Hong Kong. Yeah, which was that was quite crazy. And then Infernal Affairs 2, it gets to the point where, again, it's very easy to lose track of what the fucking hell is going on.
Yeah, whose side is everyone on?
Yeah.
But the reason that The Departed works so well for me is that it's so well cast and the actors are just incredible. You know, I could have gone with various Scorsese things, but that's the king of them for me.
If there's a little thing, I struggled with Ray Winston's accent a little bit.
Yep, I think that's a fair point. I can't argue against it.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was... And I love Ray Winston.
Have you ever got into the YouTube wormhole of criticism of actors' accents in films?
Has anything ever surpassed Tom Cruise in Far and Away, was it? The Irish accent?
No, I haven't seen that, I don't think.
Spectacular.
There are voice coaches who do criticism on various films. They get quite deep into it, and I don't know why that's fascinating to me, but it is.
Was Ray Winston on there for that?
No, but it reminded me of it. Yeah.
Can you think of any howlers?
Any howlers?
Like, awful.
Bad ones?
Yeah.
Paul Blart Mall Cop. That was in Boston. RIPD, Boston. I still know what you did last summer, Boston. I looked this all up about 5 minutes ago before we came. But there's also some, like, one I don't think you had on there that just rips my heart out is, which is, again, it's the Boston crew. Manchester by the Sea.
Yes, totally. Oh, yeah, God. Incredible.
Yeah,
really one of the good. Best films of the last few years.
Yeah, it's dope, that one. Yeah.
And for me, it's the location with all of these things. I can watch any crime thing, the town,
yeah,
Mystic River.
Fucking hell, yeah. Mystic River's cracking. Just, yeah.
Yeah, and what was the one with the newspaper quite recently? Come on, someone help me out. The Boston Globe or whatever it was.
No, I haven't seen. I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah.
Any takers?
Everyone's trying to remember it.
Literally.
Spotlight.
Yeah. Thank you, Antonia.
That hasn't scratched the itch for some reason. So that's Spotlight, yeah. But is it that? Yeah, I think
so.
I'm
not sure.
I haven't seen it.
Anyway, Boston. There you go. Genre of a movie.
Boom.
Well, top spot.
What, out of those?
No, what's...
Oh, the number one?
Yeah.
Right, well, this is definitely back to lowbrow. And there's in the Venn diagram with the 80s cult films, there is definitely some midway between the stuff. But I like any film that is a high school or college movie and basically has jocks and nerds
and
prom night. And I go pretty deep into that genre. Yeah. And I realise that it's not just 80s because there's good stuff in the 90s and beyond. And I don't know, it's not very hip-hop, but I like things like Glee. And Pitch Perfect.
Well, I mean, I've got teenage girls, so, you know, I've seen them films a lot.
Yeah.
I've seen them films a lot.
It's also a little bit worrying that it's kind of a teenage girls kind of a movie, but...
It's good, though.
It's just what I
love
like,
love a bit of Pitch Perfect, mate.
There's some pretty obscure ones. I would say in my top five favourite films... Again, it's a film that I reckon probably no one's seen. Can't Hardly Wait. Anyone seen that? Yeah. So yeah, someone said yeah. Like, they said like this. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that. It's not a top five film. It's got like Jennifer Love Hewitt, Seth Green. It's about the last night of school and they have a party and the guy ends up with a girl.
There's comfort in them films, though.
There's comfort
there?
In it. Yeah.
One of them actually makes my. Could slide into my top five of all time, especially for how many times I've watched it, and it is a same format, and I'm not going there to have my mind blown, but Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
Fucking the
but that's
shit.
A bit good, yeah. That's because actually kind of it's actually respectable.
Good.
I'm looking for the trust.
Yeah, I'm sorry, we're going near powdered chocolate.
I mean, I would say that even Road Trip and Old School are in that category because it's got Definitely. Colleges in it, which is good for me, and Sean William Scott, anything with Sean William Scott. And there's also kind of like a bit of a stoner movie like cross with this stuff, so I'd say Harold and Kumar is probably Dude Where's My Car is in that,
and
that
then kind of area.
And then and there are some more obscure ones. There's an 80s one called Lucas, Corey Haim, Corey Feldman,
right,
Charlie Sheen, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and he's like a nerd and he's trying to get the girl and everything. Just anything like that, I'm good with. I'm always good with that kind
of thing. The thing is, whenever you get the nerd, like, can you remember the 90s film She's All That?
Yeah.
Like, I can't think what I remember what her name was. Rachel Lee Cook. Yeah, Rachel Lee Cook. And I remember, like, it was like, oh my God, look how geeky this supermodel is in them glasses. And it was like, no, you just think, oh, come on. Like, the minute they go, there's a surprise. She's stunning. But I love that film.
Well, something that's always fascinated me is on the circle of geek to cool, the kind of grey area between those two things. And I always, because to me, DJing is that. Like, you can't be a DJ without being a nerd. It's impossible. You have to collect, categorize, like pour over record label details and everything, and then there's this kind of like idea DJs are cool. It's like they're the biggest nerds of all, and just that kind of like the tribes of college in America. And I think also it does tie into hip-hop for me, because this was me growing up and kind of idolizing American stuff, you know, and seeing all kind of American colleges and high schools and movies. It's the same to me as me looking at rappers in rap videos. It's like, America is so cool. Then I grew up and realized that I hate America, but it's a complicated relationship. I do have a love-hate thing, definitely.
But when we're similar of age, Yoda, and I think...
You're much older, but yeah.
that but hair's we not falling anyone.
But we grew up watching very similar films. And those American sort of frat parties and the stuff that you was exposed to looked so good.
It's exciting,
like,
isn't it?
Like, their parties looked so much better than the shit ones I went to.
I know. When I was at university, it was such a disappointment. I was like, really? I was expecting... Where's all the...
When I got to college, I grew up watching Fame. I presumed in the common room, everyone's going to be, like, doing, like, splits off of the tables and shit like that. Didn't happen, mate. Miserable.
No one at university did that thing where they say Greek letters.
Yeah.
Alpha, Omega, whatever. I don't understand what it is, but I like it.
Yeah.
And I never got to do it.
I wanted their matching jackets. I wanted to be in a gang where we all had the same jackets.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't happen,
and kegs.
Mate.
I wanted red cups with beer in as well. Like, I think cups. I lost my mind. Finally, when I was like 30, someone served me a beer in a red cup and I was like, right, scientists. I went old school. We're all going streaking. I just got
red
wrecked.
Cup, pool party. Like, this is what I was, this is what I was idolizing when I was watching all these kind of films. Yeah, it is a bit worrying for a man of my age to enjoy that kind of thing now. That's the only thing I would say.
No one should judge you in the privacy of your own home, Yoda.
Yeah, I'm not harming.
Sorry, I meant your own.
I'm not harming anyone by watching Pitch Perfect 2.
There was a fundamental difference between the pool parties I was seeing on the teen flicks at the cinema to the swim and burger parties I was going to at Blackshot Swimming Pool. Very, very different. All right, well, look, should we start to wrap things up for
let's
a quick break
up.
And then we can... Yoda signed all the records as well, we should say that. And so they're going to bring the lights up now, I think. And then what we can do if... I mean, you should be... Chris, you know how to sort out about what they've got to do in regards to drinks, right?
Yeah, fill out that form and then hold it up in the air.
All right, that was quite straightforward.
Yeah.
And in regards to if you want a record... or an action figure, or any of the other Yoda merch and stuff over there, put your hand up and the label will come over with a credit card machine and they'll swipe and go and you can buy any merch. And we'll be back in about 25 minutes with Big Papa J. DJ Yoda, thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks, ma'am. Yeah, thank you.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.